Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the show. We have a lot to get to today. We have NBA playoffs going on. The PGA Championship was last week. Phillies are breaking records as it hits Memorial Day. All that and much more, and it starts right now. Hey, welcome back, Davis. How we doing, my friend?
Oh, good, good. You know, sports are in full swing. Yes. You know, by the time this podcast comes out, it'll be 2 days ago. But yesterday was a big off day. First day without basketball or hockey in, like, months. It was nice to have a little off night, I would say.
Yeah, for sure. It was nice. It was nice. But Tuesday's here, and we have the conference finals for the West starting tonight for the NBA, and I think the East for the NHL. So sports are back tonight, but Davis, it wasn't nice. There was a lot going on this weekend, including, you know, the PGA Championship happening at the same time as, you know, the Game 7, which was tough, which we'll get to in a second. But any thoughts on Scottie just dominating?
Good for him. I mean, seriously, like, you know, it's all fun and games to, you know, try to pick other people, but, you know, he's the best to do it right now. And sorry to say, he might be on track to be the best ever. We will see. Yeah. But I mean, I feel like he didn't even play that great, and he still finished 11 under, five strokes with the leader by five strokes.
Easy to say that he didn't play well, but I do kind of know what you mean.
Yeah. I mean, he really didn't putt well at all other than Saturday afternoon late and then Sunday afternoon late. And, I mean, it was a tied ball game there right around the turn with Jon Rahm. And then Scotty just
like decided,
he said, you know what, I'm gonna add the Wanamaker trophy into my trophy case and just decided to do Scotty things.
Yeah, and good for him, like you said. But feels like he had way more than just two green jackets, two masters in his collection of majors. I feel like he had a lot more. I know that he has the Olympic gold medal, too. Some were saying that he could be the first to complete the Golden Slam, Davis, with the gold medal plus the four majors. I mean, if he could do that all in 1 year, too, because, hey, it's still open for business. He could win the Open Championship, and he could also win the U.S. Open and complete that Grand Slam. But, you know, good for Scotty, just getting another piece of hardware for his mantle. He'll be A-okay. The cool stuff was, like, seeing his, like, his son with him most of the time. Did you see that video of him standing up? Might have been the first time. Really cool.
The greatest part about the whole weekend was when Scotty was going in to sign his scorecard. He brought his kid with him and just kind of threw down his range book and was like, "Here you go, his yardage book." He was like, play with this while I sign my card for $3.2 million.
Yeah, exactly. I need to make this official. Just stay distracted.
Exactly. One of us. Yeah.
And good for Scotty, but on to the next championship that we are most interested in, which is the NBA championship, Davis. And we'll get to the bet in a second, but we have our final four. The final four we all thought was going to be. Everyone predicted this. Everyone filled out their brackets and, you know, end of April and was getting ready.
Yeah, right.
But good for a couple of these teams. I mean, the Thunder, the Wolves, the Pacers, and the Knicks are your NBA Final Four, the two finals in each conference. A lot of history with a lot of these teams, but like the Pacers and the Knicks face each other a million times. But the Pacers don't have an NBA championship. The Knicks haven't won one in 50 years. The Wolves don't have an NBA championship. And the Thunder technically don't under the Thunder name, but they won one with the Sonics in, I think, 78 or 68 or something like that, a long time ago. But you know, a new era for all of these fans. All of these fans have not witnessed winning, at least the ones closer to our age, Davis. But, yeah, wow, a new legend is going to be created and cemented in the next coming weeks. And, I mean, we can get into picks and all that, but, like, what is your gut feeling for this conference finals? Are we going to be, you know, good games, or is it like a Celtics-Boston's or Celtics-Knicks series is what I meant to say?
I'll tell you this. I think the right side, if you're watching on the YouTube page, I think the Eastern Conference conference finals matchup between the Pacers and the Knicks, which they have a lot of bad blood, a lot of history. They met up in the second round last year. The Knicks got dismantled with injuries after going up. I'm pretty sure they were up 2-0 and then may have lost four straight. But I think that this series, is going to be awesome. I think that the Pacers are going to come out fighting. Obviously, we know the Knicks and, you know, all this, you know, people going around in the streets and all that kind of fun stuff that, you know, we're seeing on social media. But, like, it is like a new era of basketball. You're right, because we're not seeing LeBron James. We're not seeing Steph Curry. Mm-hmm. We're seeing Anthony Edwards, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Tyrese Haliburton, and Jalen Brunson. I mean, if you want to put Kat in there, go ahead. But, those are legends in the making. And when you think about it, too, which is the craziest part, you know, we're saying this is all crazy. Like, I think this is crazy. I would have not have predicted that these four to be here, but the Timberwolves were here. They made it. This is their second time in Western Conference Finals. Same with the Pacers. Yep. They were here last year too. So
That's right.
It is the start of a new era, and I'm excited to see it because we're going to get a new winner this year that we haven't seen in 50 plus years.
For sure. And, you know, like you said, the Knicks fans celebrating, going wild. Can only imagine what happens if they win the championship. I mean, Eagles fans, we're probably like the closest cousin to this, like not New York Philly, but like Knicks versus Eagles fans. Those are two very, very passionate fan bases. I get it a little bit. You know, dumping all that trash on the Haliburton fan, not great. Should the fan have been in that area at that time? Probably not. No.
Can you find anything else to do than walk around?
Yeah, that's crazy. it was a little wild. That video got taken out of context just because it's like the context is this guy's probably baiting them. But, you know, like Brian Windhorst getting yelled at on the street, like that sucks. But I'm happy for the Knicks fans. And this series is going to be fun, man. Like it's on TNT, which means Reggie Miller is going to be calling the games, the legendary Pacer. Who, you know, there's a picture of him walking around Times Square with like a mask on last week. And he was like, still not going to show you guys that I'm here. But I'm really excited for this. These two teams, like you said, played last year. But because we're getting hopefully a souped up version of last year where a lot is on the line for both of these teams. The Pacers were here last year, but didn't feel like they belonged. Same with the T-Wolves. They kind of ran out of gas against Luka's Mavericks. But they kind of skated past last round. Can they take down the Thunder? The Timberwolves, that is.
I don't think so. And, you know, I hope my Thunder energy isn't coming out right now. Again, we'll get to the bet in a second. But I really do think that the Thunder, not like manhandle them, but like can handle the T-Wolves. I'll tell you this. If you put, which probably the odds are saying it is, if you gave me Timberwolves over under 1.5 wins in this series, I have to take the under. I have to take the under.
Over.
I would say here that the Thunder win in 5. And on the other side, again, we'll go to our conference final picks here. I'll just state mine right now before moving on. I'm going to take the Pacers in 7.
Wow. All right.
Why don't we move to the slide so we can see where we're at?
I was going to say, because now that we're talking about it, I feel very strongly about my picks now. I love the T-Wolves out of the West. And the only reason is because they got guys. They do. They got guys. People forget about their guys. Julius Randle obviously played against a very hurt Warriors team last year, but best playoff series of his career. He's looked like he's turned a corner and not like he's doing bad stuff, but like it feels like he's really gelled with this team and he's really does what they need him to. He playmakes when he needs them to. He gives the ball to Ant when he needs to, and he plays defense when he needs to. And then, you know, talking about defense, Rudy Gobert is really great. Jane McDaniels. People forget about Jane McDaniels. He is a great defender, but a great shooter and kind of a scorer. He's had some really nice games in the playoffs. Maybe it was close to the first round, but I really like Nikhil Alexander-Walker. You know, Mike Conley, people forget about him. Some great players, but the guy, the man, the myth, the legend, Anthony Edwards. This guy is big time. He's showtime. And whatever happens this year, I can guarantee he will win a championship within the next 3 to 4 years. Like, this guy is that good. If he's not there this year, he's going to be. And then he also really, he's played very well in this playoffs, but he hasn't really gone nuclear besides one of those Lakers games when I think he had 40. And this guy, he wants to make himself a true household name. If he wants people to go out and buy those Adidas off the shelves, he's going to do something crazy this series to get to the next series, to get to immortality. And, you know, Shea could get there too, but I love the Wolves. I love the Wolves. I do. They're fun to watch. Do they beat our Lakers and they absorbed my fun?
Maybe. Yeah. That was a shame. Yeah. Well, maybe we can make a new bet since you lost the last one. Speaking of, tough game seven there, huh? Not kidding.
Like I said, I was watching the PGA Championship.
I wasn't even watching. I wasn't worried one bit.
I watched the entire second half. it was bad, man. I think I mentioned to you this yesterday, but I had it on the main TV, the game seven. And I was like, I really do want to watch the PGA Championship. Got another TV, and I took the Nuggets game off of sound and put the sound on PGA. And right when I took the sound off, it was a good idea. They were getting shellacked. Yeah. Shellacked. I mean, Jokic was getting hounded by Alex Caruso. Dort was everywhere too, but it seemed like Caruso was literally guarding Jokic up and down on the floor. Like, he would guard him in the low post, the high post, and it was like, what is happening? Mm-hmm. And they couldn't do anything. The Thunder did a really good job of bothering him like a fucking insect. Like, they didn't allow him any time to breathe. And then Shea finally just had a sick game. I think he was like 12 of 22, maybe even better than that. Like, he just didn't miss. Jalen Williams played well. Chet played but hey, a bet's a bet. I will pay on my bet. We're good. I was wrong. All right? I can say that. Hand up. I was wrong. Okay?
No, that I think – I want your money. That's exactly what I want from you. I think, you know, this was a fun way for the series to seriously like go down to the wire. Like, It was honestly a pretty crazy 2 weeks, and got me more invested into a single NBA series, not named the 76ers, in the last 3 years, probably. So it was fun to watch. It was a great series. I do think that the T-Wolves can put up a fight. That's not me saying I don't think they will. I just think that I feel like the Thunder's defense is really coming alive, and they just played against, in my opinion, the best basketball player on planet Earth right now.
Agreed.
And did not shut him down. Did not shut him down. This is why it went seven games. But the Nuggets got a lot of
help. They did very, very good outside of game one when he had 14-20.
Yeah, for sure. I think they just limited his scoring ability enough throughout the series. But I would say coming into the series, we knew that the Thunder's biggest weakness, maybe on top of inexperience, is guarding a big man like that. I mean, they're rotating through Chet Holmgren, who, I mean, let's put him at, like, he can be a center, but I don't want that guy guarding anybody who weighs more than 235 pounds. You know what I mean? Like, seriously. And they have Isaiah Hartenstein. Well, here's my thing. I think if the T-Wolves want to have a chance, Gobert's going to need to do something offensively. And I don't know the last time I've seen him do anything offensively. So, you know, again, it's going to be a fun series, but I think Ant could average 40 and they still could lose in five.
Ooh, what a hot take.
I don't think he will average 40, but.
Am I feeling the urge to ask you bet on it? No, maybe, but, you know. We're not going to do that. I'm already 0-1. I do really like Anthony Edwards. I do.
Double or nothing. It's going to be fun. If the T-Wolves win or lose in seven, you can win. I'll take Thunder in six and under.
No, I'm good. I'm good.
Okay, that's what I thought. Thunder in five.
I don't feel that strongly about it, but, you know, I like my guy Ant, and –
I don't disagree. Ant is a dog. Like, this is like the stepping stone that he would need.
But the defense, like, is right. You were hit on that. You hit the nail on the head with the last one. Like, their defense is hitting a stride. And then you said inexperience may have been their other weakness. I had actually argued that the Thunder grew up significantly in that Nuggets series.
I completely agree.
I think they advanced their timeline maybe 6 months to a year with, like, we reached the level. At least Shea and maybe J-Dub, if that's where you want to stay. But on the Eastern Conference side, like, I'm excited about the Pacers, man. I really think they could be fun. I think they could be you know, I think they can win this series, like, legit.
Yeah.
The Knicks are tough. They're really tough. When Brunson gets going, I don't know if they can lose, seriously, especially with the Celtics out. Like, the Pacers are great. They can defend really well. But if Brunson gets going, you have to keep an eye out for Cat, Josh Hart, Mikal Bridges, and Miles McBride, honestly. He's been insane for that. Great. Yeah, so, like, that's a lot of guys you got to keep an eye on when one dude who's possibly the best ISO scorer in Jalen Brunson right now is going crazy. But, you know, Tyrese Haliburton and his guys will have the work cut out for them. They've been doubted for the last year. Like you said, they were in the Eastern Conference Finals last year against the Celtics, and I think that was more of like, oh, that's cute. They made it here. Good for them. And I think they won a game. I think they won game one, actually.
You might be right, actually. Yeah.
And then I think they lost in five. But yeah. I really think the Pacers have good momentum. Also, they're wearing those shitty city uniforms and, like, using the City Edition court. Like, I was watching one of the games. My parents were like, ew, what the hell is that? Like
I think they embrace it.
They embrace it, but I saw that the NBA put out a directive to make every team go back to their regular uniforms for the conference finals and finals. Like, no more of the City Edition crap when we get further in the playoffs, which I like. Good job, NBA.
I think that it's just the Pacers being like, we're different. Like, we're not going to run by the rules of how you're not going to tell us what to do. And I think that's exactly why the Pacers on the court are where they are right now. They use like a 10 deep rotation, just like the Thunder do. Obviously, you know, you never know who can win a series, but let's be real. The Thunder are better than the Pacers. The Thunder are probably better than the Knicks, but I think they're definitely better than the Pacers. But this is the Pacers. The Pacers are like the mini me of the Thunder, in my opinion. I really do.
Yeah.
Okay. One of your big takes with the Thunder when we made this bet that unfortunately you lost. That's unfortunate. Very unfortunate. But is that the Thunder don't have a second option. The Pacers, I mean, do they? Well, here's the thing. I think the Thunder have 3 second options. That's a part of the reason why I like them.
They have 3 third options.
They might have 6 third options, which is fine. Having 6 third options is better than having 1 second option, in my opinion. Look at the teams in here right now.
Would you rather have LeBron, Wade, or Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and Alex Caruso, Aaron Wiggins, Isaiah Joe?
You're talking about two of the top 15 players in the world.
I know. I'm just kidding.
How about the T-Wolves? Who's their second player? They're Anthony Edwards.
What do you
offensively?
Offensively, no.
You're on crack.
Well, like, he's not nothing. He's an all-defensive player. Is he a second offensive scoring option in a playoff series? No.
When you say 1-2 punch, everyone knows you mean offensively. Everyone knows. It wasn't Jordan and Rodman.
Struggling to find an option and I'm stalling? No.
exactly.
It's probably like, Jaden McDaniels, though.
Yeah. I'd rather have Jalen Williams, but besides the point, the Pacers are on a similar
path. We got Jane McDaniels, bro.
The Pacers have built a similar path. Like, they don't have a go-to number two option. They just have a ton of guys who can come in.
Disagree. Pascal Siakam.
That's a good point. But he is a better number two than
he won a championship as a number two. Yeah.
True number two.
He was the number two on the Raptors team when they won. Come on.
Yeah, I agree. You're right.
Yeah.
You're right. But Pascal Siakam, I mean, this is a real question. Is he an all-star anymore? I don't know.
No. I thought you were going to say he's washed. No. You know who's truly playing like a second option, though, is Miles Turner. Turner has been
excellent. This is the thing. People are filtering in and out. This is why the Pacers are playing so well.
For sure.
I think that the Pacers, again, when I say Pacers in seven, I say that with the most minimal amount of confidence I possibly can have in me. Because I really don't know how this series could go. I just think it's going to go 6 or 7 games, and anyone can win. I truly believe that. And
yeah, I agree.
I think that if the Pacers are going to win this series, it's going to have to be at MSG Game 7. Like, that's how they grow up. That's how they grow up and get their path to the NBA Finals.
Can you imagine that?
Storybook. That's storybook.
Can you imagine that?
Storybook stuff.
Game 7, MSG. These two teams playing each other to get to the finals? Oh, my God.
Give me this right now. Pacers are up 3-2, Game 6. going to Indiana, and the Knicks shove and win handedly to bring it back to MSG. Pacers come in, and it's a tough game, but could you imagine that storybook? Like, Indiana could go to the NBA Finals on their own court.
There would be death in the stands. There would be looting. There would be...
I'm ready to see.
Yeah, no, I am too. That would be so fun. Storybook is the best way to put it, Davis. It really is. All right. I think that's enough ball talk. Let's get to more ball. Baseball, that is. Davis, it's time to talk about baseball. When is the true start of the season, according to our good friend, Vol?
Memorial Day weekend. Obviously. Memorial Day, possibly.
Yes. He told me to ask you that just to make sure we're on the same page, because he's right.
Trust me, he speaks, I listen. This is how the game is played. All right.
100%.
I know. And
I'm just a Padawan. He's the master for sure.
I agree. Looking at these standings right now, I mean, we're seeing the Phillies on top. We'll get to Philly specific stuff next. But I mean, we're seeing a lot of tight races. I mean, the NL West right now, the Dodgers have now dropped four straight. This could start to be dumpster fire for the Dodgers right now. They just got swept at home by their crosstown rivals, the LA Angels. Can you believe that? The LA Angels just swept the Dodgers this past weekend on rivalry weekend. We were seeing some other crazy things in rivalry.
Infamous rivalry weekend with legendary rivalries between the Phillies and the Pirates.
Well, as well as that's the Turnpike series. But how about the Colorado Rockies played up against the Arizona Diamondbacks? Crazy, legendary crazy rivalry down there.
They're like, what two cities are near each other? That's rivalry week.
It's almost like they matched up every team they wanted, and they just had like six left, and they were like,
they just like connect the dots, and they're like, I think that works. Yeah.
Yep. Yep. Well, we saw the New York Subway Series. We saw Soto go back to New York. Ethan, I just wanted to put this out here because Juan Soto's playing well. He's not playing great.
If you looked at Frank the Tank's Twitter feed, though, you would think that he is a registered sex offender. I mean, it's crazy. You're telling me he played well? I was just looking at Twitter for the last hour seeing that he's playing terrible.
He went 1-for-10 over the weekend with like four walks. Okay.
So that's why I saw that, because Frank tweeted that at the end of his contract, Soto's lifetime averages are going to be hitting 50.050 with 30 homers and like 50 RBIs. I was like, these guys are getting out of control. These Mets fans lose their mind.
Yep.
It's like, also, by the way, New York went crazy for the Knicks winning a second round series. Didn't see a lick of that last year with the Mets. Just want to point that out.
I agree.
Yeah, just interesting things that I find interesting.
Juan Soto, how about the
Cubs, though?
Oh, yeah, the Cubs. Cubs, in my opinion, right now, again, season starts on Monday. The season starts on Monday. The Cubs might be the most sneaky, and it's obvious now. I mean, it's not the most well-kept secret of mine.
No, I'm aware of it. So,
they're in first place, but I think they're probably the most sneaky team in the MLB. I think that they...
What about Pete Armstrong?
I think he's solidifying himself as a top five player in the league right now.
Five?
You should see what he's doing. It's insane.
I've seen some of it, but top five. Explain why.
Because he's hitting almost 300. There's a good chance, other than Aaron Judge, I wouldn't. This is off the dome piece. I'll look it up. Mm-hmm. But I wouldn't be shocked.
I'll read some stats last night.
I wouldn't be shocked if he leads the NL in extra bases. He doesn't hit for a ton of power, but I mean, look, he's hitting 282 right now. He has an OPS of nearly 900, so that's an OPS plus. He's 46% above average as a hitter. He already has 12 home runs. He hit 10 last year in almost a full season. He already has 12. He has 12 doubles. He has 3 triples. He has 14 stolen bases. I mean, this guy's an all-around guy, and he went hitless last night, I guess. But other than that, I mean, his last few games, 2 hits, 4 at-bats, 2 hits, 5 at-bats, 4 hits, 5 at-bats, 6 RBIs that game, and a home run. He had a double and a triple 2 nights ago. I mean, this guy is really cementing himself as a full 5-tool player. And I think he can keep it up because this Cubs team is deep. They've got a good rotation. Other than the fact they lost Justin Steele, a top 3 pitcher in the NL.
Is he Tommy John
earlier this year? Yeah, he got Tommy John. But they have a lot of other guys in the staff, and they're deep 1-9 in their lineup.
There's two things I know about PCA. One, I had him in MLB The Show last year, and I thought he was really good. Mm-hmm. And two, mm-hmm. that goes along with that. His number used to be like 52 or 53 or something like that. And then Correct. The GM was like, you got to change to a faster number. That's a slow number. And he changed Correct. Before this offseason. So Correct. Our number changes a thing of, you know, showing progression in baseball now. Because, I read that and was like, he's going to play well this year. But he played. I mean, he's MVP right now. Like, it's like him and Schwarbaum in the NL.
Still Ohtani, but probably just because it's Ohtani. PCA is not far behind in comparison to where Judge is at with everybody in the AL.
Yeah. How about the Yankees in that division? What's going on?
Teams are just shit in the bed. Sorry, excuse my French, but the Red Sox are what are the Red Sox right now? 24-25. They could be 15-35, or they could be 35-15. Like, this team is just been inconsistent as hell. At the plate, especially, but they're especially.
It's also funny that they're like led by Bregman and Devers, but they're not getting morale.
Devers stinks. Devers sucks.
Sucks.
Yeah, he's a little crybaby. I can go on my whole rant if you want. He wants to play third base, but he's the worst third baseman in the league. He will not move to designated hitter full time, even because he doesn't want to be financially brought down, which makes no sense. Because he just signed a mega, 12-year deal, last year. I don't really get it. The Blue Jays are all right. They're almost .500. The Rays stink. And probably the biggest surprise in the MLB this year, the Baltimore Orioles are 16 games under .500. And the season hasn't even started yet.
Very true of it, Davis. Very true. How about the Tigers?
Tigers are very sneaky. Tarek Skubal might be the best pitcher in baseball. I don't think it's a question, actually, anymore. And they're what?
Who'd you say? Mize? Casey Mize?
Tarek Skubal.
Tarek Skubal, okay.
Cy Young winner. He won Cy Young last year, won the pitching triple crown last year. He's probably going to do it again this year, which is crazy.
Who's in that lineup that's playing well, though?
Spencer Torkelson. Is like their 3-4 hole hitter. Parker Meadows, who plays right field, big power bat. Both guys that 3 years ago were top 5 prospects, and the Tigers built them to be exactly what they needed to be. Javier Baez is
playing
phenomenally this year. Ever since he moved to center field, he's been fantastic in the field, and he's hitting like he was in 2017. He's kind of back, honestly. It's weird to say.
Did he ever leave? I'm just kidding. He totally
did. Oh, yeah, he did. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no, he really did.
Last year, I don't think he hit 200 last year.
Wait, really?
Yeah, with 100%.
That's really bad. Oh, man.
I'll confirm that for us. Last year, he hit 184. This year he's hitting 291.
Holy! Is there a bigger turnaround between two seasons for an MLB player?
Not this late in their career. This is a little unheard of. Javier Baez, people were saying that, it was almost bound to happen that if he got off to a bad start this year, the Tigers were going to cut him and just pay him his money and be like, we don't want you on our team anymore. And now he's really turning things around for arguably the best team in the American League.
Something I realized this weekend is that Schwarber is by far the best player of the 2016 Cubs World Series team. But if you took bets 10 years ago, you'd say it's Javier Baez by a mile, right?
Yeah, probably Bryant, Rizzo, and Baez are kind of equal. But
keep forgetting about Chris Bryant. That's terrible that he went to the Rockies still.
Yeah, he's getting paid a boatload to do nothing, unfortunately.
How much?
Probably $25 million a year.
That's terrible.
He stinks. He probably didn't even hit 200 last year.
Let's say giving out $300 million to anybody, especially during that Bryce Harper class or those years where it was
he hit 218 last year. Not bad. Not pretty terrible. Not as bad as his 154 he's hitting this year. I might be able to hit 154. Just close my eyes and put the bat out there.
If you took PEDs, what could you hit in 3 months?
Maybe like 0.06.
Come on, give yourself a little credit.
0.067. speaking of PEDs, Ethan,
what a transition. You take it.
Jose Alvarado. Yeah. Caught taking Ozempic. Real shame. Apparently,
is it Ozempic
apparently, oh, really? Apparently, it was a weight loss drug he was taking.
Okay. I thought you meant it was like actually Ozempic.
No. Apparently, it was a weight loss drug that was definitely banned. I don't know why. Who knows? I mean, I don't know.
Maybe the CC is a bad thing. Like, the bigger you are, like, the harder you throw.
PEDs are like to make you strong and like, you know, make you hit the gym. Like, no, Jose Alvarado was doing the opposite. Like, he was just taking this, whatever he was taking, lost to lose weight. He even said he was fat during spring training on broadcast, which is crazy. But now we lose him for 80 games. And
he was making jokes about him being a fat boy, wasn't he?
Yeah, exactly.
He's like, I'm a fat boy. He's like, yeah, you are, Jose.
He will not be on the playoff roster either. That's the scariest part of all of this.
Yeah, just to remind people, though, the 80-game suspension means that he will come back and he will pitch regular season games, and then he will be resuspended for the playoffs again. So I didn't realize that. It's going to be a little weird when he's, like, pitching giant games for us in, like, September, and then it's like, yeah, well, you're just going to lose that. So –
yep.
I heard WIP freaking out about this, and they were like, we're going to lose a top prospect because of this. Might be Justin Crawford. And I was like, what?
Yeah, for
you
sure.
You think so?
Yeah, because I think there's a team on this list right now on the NL wildcard or NL wildcard standings who is playing above average from what they thought they were. It's really unfortunate because we want their closer. And that's the Cardinals. Yeah, if the Cardinals really start to blow up pretty soon here, which I think all Phillies fans are rooting for. Their closer, Ryan Helsley, who's probably arguably a top three closer in the league, will be wearing white and red pinstripes by August.
Why are you so certain of that?
Because the Phillies are the most desperate bullpen team in maybe the world right now. What do you got? You got a fly there?
Yeah, sorry. I just killed a fly.
Did you get it?
Yeah, no, I got it.
Hands team.
Hold on. Dead body on camera.
Oh, you got to look at you. Good job. Pressure makes time.
Yeah, come on, obviously. I can multitask. Shout out, EG. No, but I agree. It is a tough blow. And, you know, hopefully the Cardinals really do start to play badly so that can happen. But I've also heard rumors maybe Felix Bautista from the Orioles could come available because the Orioles are – pooping the bed and then remaking the bed and then pooping it again.
Yeah.
Correct?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
That's the vibe that I've gotten. But hey, like you said, the season starts now because it's almost Memorial Day. And are we also saying that because the Phillies are number one in the division? Yes. Mm. Yes, we are. The Phillies are number one in the division coming off such a big win last night in Colorado. I mean, the Rockies are just utterly pathetic. They have 8 wins?
Correct. Yeah,
8 wins.
And last time we talked, they had 7.
Oh, good job in the last week, Colorado.
Not another.
But now they're going against the Phillies. They were up 2-0 going into the 7th inning, I believe, last night. Mm-hmm. And then just completely lost that lead very quickly. And during that game, Mr. Kyle Schwarber himself, he hit his 300th home run, Davis. And that is huge. That's awesome. It's a huge accomplishment for Kyle. I believe he's only among 11 active players who have done so. Pretty sweet. But what is cooler is he hit 147 of these 300 homers in Phillies red pinstripes. This guy has been absolute animal since he joined the Phillies. Like a fine wine, this man just gets better with time. Seriously. And this comes with another question that was already looming this offseason, but do we pay him? The answer to that is yes. But how much and for how long do we pay Kyle Schwarber going forward?
I wouldn't be shocked to see a deal in the ballpark of like 8 years, $200 million, $225 million, I would say. Whoa, you're muted.
Sorry. That feels good, the number, but 8 years feels long. But
yeah, hey, he wants long-term stability. That's what I would guess. I mean, he's 32. I would guess the lower the year amount, the more he's going to want. So I think 8 years, 220 would be a good number. But if the Phillies want to lowball the years and say, hey, we only want you for 4 years, that could turn into 4 years for $150 million.
Okay. Yeah. That's the bad range right there. But hey, I think you got to do what you got to do to get this guy back in the lineup. I mean, he has been tremendous this year. I don't know what it is. I think he maybe is just getting older and he's just getting more locked in and cares more about his game. So he's maybe doing stuff in the off season, but at the same time, Thompson finally stopped screwing around and put him at third or fourth in the lineup, depending on, you know, who's leading off, Stott or Turner. But it feels like this guy has gotten a lot more juice in his swing being third, even if he is leading off being third in the lineup. Like, having the ability to have guys in front of him when he's hitting, I think is massive. And especially to protect Bryce a little bit more, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Protect. I mean, Bryce hasn't been phenomenal this year. I mean, he's playing like crap, but I mean, he's still playing above average baseball. It's just not to his standards. And we all know he typically gets off to pretty slow starts. So again, as we keep saying, Memorial Day weekend, this is when the season starts. Bryce, the air is going to get a little warmer. It's going to get a little thicker. Ball's going to travel a little farther. And, you know, Bryce is going to be able to turn it around. He already shaved his head. He did the Sirianni treatment. Speaking of, he got signed to a multi-year extension yesterday.
We never said a bad thing about him ever. Good for him.
Nope, never. Bryce will turn around, and we're going to have five, six elite hitters in this lineup, hopefully for the foreseeable future.
For sure. And Paul Skeens faces on Sunday at a game that you went to, Davis, actually, against Mick Abel, the promising rookie. He played well, but I saw that Skeens was talking very highly of our lineup and saying that was very good. And he's, you know, listing off Schwarber and Harper and what makes it good. But he also listed off Stott. And I just want to give Stott his credit. I think he's having a really, really nice year. He's been great out of the leadoff spot when needed. He's had a couple of just, like, great hits that you just don't see for him usually because I think he's in the leadoff spot. Like, I think he's truly a gamer. He needs to be in that situation to feel the pressure and to play well. And I've always been a Bryson guy, so I'm happy to see that he's playing well this year.
I agree. He can continue this
into the playoffs.
I do. This leadoff role has been great for him. I think he's seeing pitches very well. I think he has the prototypical leadoff swing where he's not hitting for power. He's hitting for a lot of contact. He's hitting a lot of bloop singles, or he's not hitting gap or doubles. He's just finding a way to get on base. And again, when you have right behind him, and you have Trey Turner, Bryce Harper, and Kyle Schwarber coming up 1-2-3 right after you, I'd feel a lot more confident in the box too.
Yeah, for sure. Versus behind you being Brandon Marsh and Sosa and Rojas.
Yeah. Happens.
But Davis, we're feeling good about the Phillies so far. Yeah.
Agreed. I'd say the start of the year.
Sam McCable.
They already sent him down. He's back in AAA, which is fine because he just doesn't have a starting role for us right now. But if you want some good prospect news, Andrew Painter, they just increased his pitch count to about 75 pitches. They're going to let him throw like 75 pitches for each game. He's going to work himself up to 95 pitches a game. And once he hits that and feels comfortable, he will be wearing the red and white pinstripes.
Give me a timeline on it.
I'd say the middle of August, right around that trade deadline. And he will definitely make the September call-ups when every team gets to add two extra players to their roster.
But you think by August he'll be
middle of August. Okay. I'll give you August 15th.
Yeah. I was rushing it for a while, but no. Let's get Painter up here when he's ready and then maybe send Suarez or Nola to the bullpen.
It sounds like it's as of right now probably is going to be Suarez, but with how Aaron Nola has been, I don't really know. Let's take it one game at a time with him because it is unfortunate what we're seeing from him start the year.
Yeah, it is unfortunate. But speaking of unfortunate, we're done with the baseball talk. Let's go to the NHL. unfortunate as in these matchups aren't the tastiest. They aren't the tastiest morsel. I'm just saying.
Okay.
The West matchup, I'm not going to hate on. That's a good one. Stars and the Oilers. That should be really fun. I'm rooting for McDavid. But on the east side, blah, disgusting. The Hurricanes
and Carolina. Yeah, two bad hockey markets.
Woo! And then the Florida Panthers, who finally have earned respect in the hockey world. They are a premier team in this league. The defending champions. They've been in the playoffs a lot recently. They've earned their respect. But the Carolina Hurricanes are just
I'm sure they're playing really well,
and they're dominating, but
it's just an ugly name. I mean, I don't disagree. Yeah. Like, it's ugly.
Jerseys are terrible.
Yeah, their jerseys are pretty bad, and that's exactly why I'm taking the Florida Panthers to win in six here. I don't think
rematch.
That I was just getting to that. I have a rematch set. Florida Panthers going up against the Edmonton Oilers.
That's what I'm hoping for.
That this Stanley Cup would be amazing. I'm more confident that Florida will beat Carolina than I am that Edmonton will beat Dallas, because Dallas has been feisty so far. Jake Ottinger in goal. He has been terrific. Yep. He just had an absolute duel with Connor Hellebuck in game six. That went to overtime. It's just whether you're going to stop Connor McDavid or not. Like, I mean, seriously, like, Mikko Rantanen might be the best player in hockey over the last month. And Connor McDavid's right behind him, and no one's talking about it because this is just who Connor McDavid is. This Western Conference series, I think, is going to be phenomenal.
Yeah, I'm very much looking forward to it. And I mean, I knew four teams were alive, but I just put together that we could get a rematch between the Panthers and Oilers. So that is 150% what I'm rooting for.
Yes.
I thought last year was super annoying when it was like, all right, the Oilers in the final, let's go. I'm excited for McDavid. And then it was just like a blink of an eye and they were down 3-0. Like, so quickly. And then they came back. And that was sick. It was
game 7.
And it was like a close game 7.
Yeah, I think the Panthers won 3-1, I believe.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I would love that. And I think, like, you know, casuals who are not the biggest hockey fans probably see that. Or see these four, and they're like, ew, kind of the same way NBA fans are. But, you know, in a different way, I think a lot of fans will get pulled into a potential Panthers-Oilers series. I think that could be really, really fun. And I think enough people will know that that happened last year. Enough.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, it was a terrific series last year. And to be honest with you, Ethan, these are the four best teams in hockey right now. And all four deserve to be there. You can say the same thing about basketball. You know, you can say the Celtics were better this year. The Cavs were better this year. Like,
there's the Tatum asterisk now, for sure.
I understand. But hockey-wise, these are the four best teams in hockey. So I think we got exactly what, I mean, hockey wished for. Two terrific series to lead to a tremendous Stanley Cup.
All right, so we made our picks in the NBA, but give me your Stanley Cup champion and then give me your NBA champion.
Yep, I'm going to go with the Florida Panthers over the Edmonton Oilers in 7. And I will give you the Oklahoma City Thunder over the Indiana Pacers in 5.
I'm hoping that doesn't happen. I'm really hoping that doesn't happen. But for shits and giggles, I'm just going to throw it out there. I'm going to take the Knicks in 7. I know we have Pacers futures. I'm just trying to be realistic here.
I
don't know if the Pacers can win the championship. That's all. I think the Knicks could. But, you know, we'll see what happens. And then the hockey side, McDavid, McJesus. I think he's going to get one. He's going to get one. And when he gets one, the immediate question will be, can he get more than one? So that's how good this guy is. So I think he has to get one. And if it's a matchup against the Panthers, I think they win. But I don't know. Maybe you know, Oilers, Hurricanes could be something special. Who knows?
I agree. It's fun times, Ethan. Fun times here in May.
Fun times indeed. All right, Davis, anything else to say before we get out of here?
I don't think so. Hope everyone has a great week.
Yeah, seriously. Enjoy it. Like, subscribe, share. Run up the shorts. We appreciate all the support last week with the shorts. We need to do more of getting those out more. So we appreciate those who liked and all that stuff. So don't be afraid to, you know, throw us a like button on this video. Don't be afraid to subscribe, share it to your friend, and say this video sucks. And maybe we'll click on it, watch 10 minutes.
But watch it.
Yeah, but not watch it. But watch it. Yeah, seriously. All right, everyone. We appreciate it. And thanks for watching. See ya.